Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy as we are studying presently through the book of Deuteronomy. Now, we've been going, it's been 15 years now, if you can believe it. We started in the book of John, and we have traveled through the New Testament, wrapped around into the book of Genesis, and we're coming now to the end of the Pentateuch here as Deuteronomy is that last book. But we have trudged through some, the wilderness wanderings, if you would. We've been through a lot here in the Pentateuch, and we come to the sweet spot, if you would, where Moses is speaking to the next generation, those that didn't rebel, didn't disobey, weren't barred from the promised land because of unbelief. Their parents were, but God said, hey, your little ones that you say are going to be victims in the promised land, and that's what the parents said, that take us back to Egypt, give us a new leader. Our children are going to be victims here. There's giants in the land. And so God said, okay, back into the wilderness, and you guys can just wander in circles basically for 40 years. And when you die, and, God speeded up the process, I think they speeded up the process because of their rebellion, even in the wilderness, and there was plagues and all kinds of different things that happened there, and they died off. Now they're at the shores of the Jordan River, looking into the promised land, Jericho right across the river there, and they're gonna go in, and Moses now is recounting to that next generation, the law. And he's breaking it down and he's teaching it to them. And so it is really sweet as we look at this here. Now, we left off in verse 23 last week of chapter 5. But if you go back to the beginning of 5, and we'll start reading there, and we won't read all the way up there, but just a few verses, and then he's going to give again the Ten Commandments. But it kind of ties in, so I think it's important for us to look at it here. So verse 1, chapter 5, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes, the judgments, which I spoke in your hearing today, that you might learn them and be careful to observe them. That's the point. That's the point of Deuteronomy, that you might learn and you might be careful to observe. And really, that word we're going to find, be careful, diligence, here in our study tonight, we're going to see it over and over. Observe, take careful attention to, obey, keep. That's what he's talking to them. Now remember, the context here, the parents didn't do that. The parents disobeyed the law before Moses could get it off the mount. Remember, he broke it there and I mean, no question about it, signifying them breaking the law as they were there on the, plains, and Moses is up there in Mount Sinai, and he's getting the law, and God's writing it on the tablets, and Moses, is lingering there, if you would. He's up there 40 days, 40 nights, and comes down, he hears a party going on, he sees a golden calf in the midst of the camp, and he throws the law on the ground, and it breaks, and it's breaking the first two commandments there that they broke before he even got it to him. And so Moses is saying, hey, listen, let's not repeat our parents' mistake. And I think a word for many people today, let's be wise. We're all sinners. And as a young kid, if you grew up in a Christian home, you might have felt like, your parents weren't sinners. And then you realize, as you got a little older, they're sinners. Mom and dad, they're, perfect. And we're sinners. And as you get older, and depending on what your parents did and what their beliefs were and how they, treated you and raised you, there's mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Every parent makes mistakes. Every parent in here tonight has made mistakes. We all make them. But look and learn from the mistakes of those that have gone before us. Not just our parents, but people. That's what the Old Testament is all about. People ask me, should we as New Testament Christians, do we need to study the book of Deuteronomy? I mean, what about, like Matthew? Wouldn't that be better? Well, Matthew's good, no question about it, fun. But these are here for us. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these are given to us for our learning and for our admonition. What are given? The stories here. And what the failures, as Paul there lists in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, the failures of the children of Israel. And as they failed, we're to look at them, certainly not judge them, come down on them, but we're to learn from them. You know, that's important. You know, I'm really thankful I wasn't in the Old Testament or the New. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it wouldn't have been great. Imagine our history being written, your life. You know, there you are, great King David, right? Yeah, everyone talks about you as an adulterer and a murderer and a liar. You know, forever. I mean, you just go through the archives of the sermons of church history, and there you are, lifted up as the guy that blew it. You know, I'm just thankful. But, you know, someone needs to be the example, and so they were. And we see that, and that's what the law is saying, is that when you don't follow, and this is what Moses is saying here to the kids, when you don't follow the Lord, you're going to be chastened, you're going to be disciplined, you're going to be bummed out. It's going to ruin your life. But hey, if you follow, and I want you to look for this phrase, if you obey, if you diligently keep my commandments, it will be well with you. It will prolong your life. It will bring prosperity and blessing to you. And that's truly what it is. And so be careful. That's the word. The Lord our God made a covenant, verse 2, with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make the covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. Now, again, he's speaking here of their fathers, not necessarily their father, but the fathers of the faith. Back to Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is faithful to that covenant. And now this is the covenant here, this new covenant, this covenant of the law. I didn't make it with Abraham, but I'm making it with you. It's for you. The law, the Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mount. And he said, and then he gives here the Ten Commandments, and we already went through them. Jump with me to verse 22. So giving the commandments, then he says, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain, from the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness, and the loud voice. He added no more, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to you. So here we see in the beginning of the chapter that God spoke to them face to face, but they were afraid. They were afraid of his presence, of his voice. Clearly there was this, as verse 22 tells us, and even there in verses 4 and 5 declare that there was a fire, cloud, thick darkness, a loud voice. And this is what was happening. If you would, God thundered on Mount Sinai, his word. It was a time to be remembered. When the word of God was given, it was a sobering moment for the people. I think it's important. I think it's important for us to recognize that, and really even in our own lives, to receive the voice of the Lord, obviously through the word of God. I'm not speaking of some, super spiritual, mystical kind of, revelation that I have, but just the word of God. But there's those times as we're studying together. There's those times as we're studying on our own or in a small group where you just know God's here. Let us remember back when the word was first given, the presence of God was so powerful, so apparent. And that's important. And God goes out of his way. Obviously, God could have just spoken a still small voice to Moses, but he thundered. There was fire. There was cloud. There was darkness. There was smoke. The mountain was, if you would, on fire. It was a pretty radical and somewhat traumatic experience that they had so much so they said, hey, Moses is too much for us. We're going to die. You go and talk to the Lord and you tell us what he has to say. And so Moses did that. Verse 23. So it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all of the heads of your tribes and your elders. So all the leaders come to Moses at this time. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, that we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Wow. I mean, when I read that, I just like, this is our God. That God would speak to man. And I think today that Christianity has become a little bit dull. And I think that we get a little bit distracted and busy and we just go about our lives and we become very religious. Even as in the days of Jesus, and they had there the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees and lawyers and these guys that were just all about, you know, talking about the law and what, but they had lacked that personal touch. They had lacked that voice of the Lord. It's almost become, we're going to, you know, Jesus says, you search the scriptures and in them you think you have life, but they testify of me and you've missed me, the Messiah, the Savior. It's easy to do that. And, you know, here at Calvary Chapel, we study the Word. We go right through the Bible. And it's easy for us to go, well, we search the Scriptures and almost find a sense of confidence there. But forgetting that it's about Him. And this is God. I mean, I want you to think with me, and those of you that have been schooled in the Old Testament here, I want you to think, and you don't have to be a scholar by any means, but just to kind of read through your Bible a little bit, know it, that God has always sought to speak to man. Go back to the Garden of Eden. That it was the voice of the Lord that came there to Adam. That voice in the cool of the day they walked. It was the voice of God that called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him to the promised land. I love that. God just said, for my glory, because of my love, for my own purposes, I'm just going to choose you out, Abraham, and call you out of it. You know, Abraham lived in a very pagan nation. I mean, Abraham was by no means a follower of the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. The Lord just revealed himself to him. He said, I'm going to make you a nation. Come on, follow me. And required faith. Always requires faith. But spoke. God is always reaching out to us. And speaking and desiring to speak. And that voice coming. There's Moses. You know, now time has gone on. The children of Israel have been established. And now they're slaves in Egypt. And there's Moses. And, you know, he goes about doing what he thought he could do and should do and blows it and, you know, kills a guy and flees. And there he is thinking God has forgotten all about him and he's a joke and he blew it. And all of a sudden he turns and there's a bush on fire, but yet not consumed. And he turned and the Lord began to speak to him, interesting, through fire. And God does the same thing on Mount Sinai, but that God began to speak. God began to reach out once again to man. And God says, I've heard the cries of my children. They've come to my ears. And there are times in our lives where we feel like it's silent. But know this, God is always pursuing us. And on you can go through the Bible. But ultimately, you come to Jesus. The emphatic, the final voice, if you would. Not a voice that was spoken once and then done, but the final vessel God is going to speak through, himself. And he's going to become a man. And Hebrews tells us, and let me read it to you out of Hebrews chapter 1. This is how the book of Hebrews opens up. And I love this about the book of Hebrews. It's so powerful. Hebrews chapter 1, it says there in verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And then he goes on to declare who his Son is. God of very gods is what he shows. But God, he's spoken in many ways. God has spoken in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but now he has spoken, and the word here is final, once for all, but it's a voice that can be heard from generation to generation. It's a once for all act that has consequences that will go on. And God's still speaking. No doubt through Jesus, no doubt through a relationship with him, no doubt through the Word of God, but that personal relationship. And that's why the Word of God is so important. That's why it's so important for us to open up our Bibles and to read. You know, it's an amazing thing. There are so many Christians today that don't read their Bible every day. And then there's those that do read their Bibles, but don't read their Bibles with a heart saying, God, speak to me. You know, like little Samuel. Speak, your servant hears. Just a kid. And I just think, God speaks to kids. You don't need to be some super spiritual, powerful person. I mean, think about Abraham, who at that time was named Abram. He was a worshiper of the moon god in Ur. And God spoke to him. It wasn't because of him, it was because of who God is. And the beautiful thing is that we're saved today, those of us that are Christians tonight. And God's voice isn't silent. At times it is in our life, but there's that what we call, I love what A.W. Tozer says, the speaking voice of God. It's like, it's always speaking, we just sometimes can't hear. This is what the Lord speaks, Jesus, to the churches there that are in recorded for us, the seven churches in Revelation, last book of the Bible. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says, let him hear. I love that. The Spirit's speaking. God's speaking. Obviously, Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Don't mix that up thinking he's less, lower, like it's a totem pole there. You know, he's the equal with the Father, equal with the Son. He is God, a very God's God, Spirit, speaking. Speaking to us. He has an ear to hear. Let him hear. Do you have an ear to hear? Do I have an ear to hear? You know, as I look back in my relationship with the Lord, there's times I haven't had an ear. Has God been speaking? Yes. I haven't been listening. My ears maybe been clogged with stuff, sin, carnality, the world, whatever it might be. But God's speaking. And for the honest seeker tonight, says, I want to hear the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to know the Lord. He dwells in you. He dwells in you, church. He is there to guide and lead and speak. I refer you to Jesus' last words to his intimate disciples. Judas goes out to betray him. The 11 are there. John records it for us. Really from John 14, chapter 14, through John chapter 17, some of the sweetest, richest words of Jesus and all the Bible there. And the whole thing is about how my Spirit is going to come and he's going to dwell in you and you are going to abide in me and he's going to lead you and guide you and teach you things to come and remind you of that which has been taught. And there's going to be a living, abiding relationship. And I love this. And he says, and this in John 17, 3, and this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ from whom you sent. This is salvation. This is it. Well, what is it? I mean, your ears should perk up. This is eternal life. Jesus speaking, that you might know me, you might know the Father and me. That's it. This is eternal life, that you might know him and the one he sent. That knowledge, that relationship, that fellowship. And so even we see here in the old covenant, the people heard. But there was that fear. And let it be known, because it is so true, that when God speaks and when God really manifests himself to you, what the presence of the Lord, you know, we might all define it differently, but just where you're like, wow, the Lord is speaking. The Lord is present. Maybe it's a prayer meeting you're in with some other Christians. Maybe it's a time you're witnessing and sharing and you just know that's not me. I mean, God just spoke through me, let alone to me. You know, and you're just kind of taken back. There ought to be a sense of fear. There ought to be a sense of reverence. You know, Moses, when God spoke to him, it says there that he turned towards this burning bush, Exodus 3. And it says, not only did he take off his sandals, God said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. It says he turned his face and hid it from the Lord. It wasn't just, hey, dude, what's up, you know, bro? And sometimes I think we in the, certainly Orange County American Calvary Chapel Christianity, we can approach the Lord like he's a surfer, you know? Hey, dude, it's going down. No doubt he's our friend. But I think that somewhere we can easily lose the sense of God's real presence. Because when you look in the Bible and when God manifests himself to people, they usually like fall down. You know, they're usually like undone. Think of Isaiah 6, you know, and he saw the Lord. And Isaiah was undone. You think of Daniel, and it wasn't even necessarily the Lord, though it possibly was, but seemingly an angel. Daniel 10, there's Daniel fasting on the river Tigris for 3 weeks, and you know, and he has this vision, and all the guys around him that were with him, they didn't see the vision, it says, but they fled because they saw the terror in Daniel. They're like, we're out of here. And he says, I was there alone, and the angel touched me and gave me strength. I was on my hands and knees and was without strength. There was just a sense of God, Almighty God is here. It was awesome. And then, you know, you think of Paul there on the road to Damascus, this rebellious guy ready to persecute Christians and Jesus and anything that with the name of Jesus, those heretics, that was his mindset. And wham, blinded, falls to the ground, and he hears the voice of Jesus. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I mean, Paul knew, this is the Lord. But who? Who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. John, the great beloved John, book of Revelation was written. It says in chapter 1, on the Lord's day, I was there in the Spirit. And he begins to talk about the Lord. He sees a vision of the Lord first. And it says, and I fell down as a dead man. I just fell down like a dead man. We need a little bit more of that. Now, I do not believe in being slain in the Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. Some, you know, hype. These are typically one-on-one encounters with the Lord. But I mean, you know, just prostrate in your bedroom, on the floor, God's word, God's presence, just a reality. God is real. And God loves me. And God wants a relationship with me. That's the beauty of what it is to be a Christian. And that's what we see all through old and new. And so Moses speaks about the speaking voice of God here. And the people recognize it. And they say, you know, we have seen this day the God that God speaks with man, yet he shall, yet he still lives. We're still alive. They were blown away. Verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, that we shall die. So they're fearful. They're like, we're alive still, but I don't know how much longer. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Now, the reality is we just listed a few of those that live. But This is the sense they have. Now, and again, notice God, again, just he says it over and over, speaking, hearing his voice, the voice of the Lord, the living God. I just love that. You go near Moses, that's what they say, verse 27, and hear all the Lord that the Lord our God may say. And tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Key. We will hear and do it. So we got it. It's the Lord. What he says is right. We don't think we can handle this. You go and listen, bring back word, and we're good with it. Everything's good. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. And so God says, that's good. That's good. That's right. You know what I love here? Is that God hears us. Now, this is obvious when you understand, you know, the sovereignty of God, and that God is, you know, all-knowing and all-seeing and all-present, and that God is here. But I love how he says it here, that you spoke to me, Moses talking to the people. God heard what you said, and God responded to me on behalf of what you said. I think that we ought to, though we might know theologically, we ought to think about this a little bit deeper. Do you know that God hears us talking to one another? I think about, you know, our conversations via email, our text, our phone conversations. The Lord hears it. The Lord sees it all. It helps me when I keep that in the forefront of my mind. It helps me to remember that there's that fear. It's not like, well, God's removed and, oh, now we're in worship and we're in prayer and now God's here and now I'm going off and, you know, I might just be, you know, spitting out a bunch of junk or saying stuff. And God's there. God hears it. I love what Malachi says there, the last book of the Old Testament. Let me read it to you. This is an easy one to remember because it's one of those 3:16s. We all know John 3:16. There's a lot of 3:16s in the Bible. Really cool verses. Well, Malachi 3:16 says this. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated, or the word is established, meditated on his name. Whoa, a book of remembrance is being written in heaven about what we say to one another. Now, clearly, it's to those who fear the Lord. It's like God is keeping track. Not necessarily to judge us, not to say, well, you said this, you know, but of those who fear him and meditate on his name. And as we praise him, as we use the Christian word, the New Testament word, fellowship, we share with one another our hearts. We share verses together. Boy, we need more of that. You know, it's one of the marks of revival in people's lives when they can't help but speak about the Lord. It's one of the most beautiful things in a relationship. It's a beautiful thing in a family. It's a beautiful thing in a marriage. There's fellowship. There's dialoguing. There's excitement about Jesus and what he's done. And that's why we come together, hopefully to provoke, you know. That's what our home fellowships do. They take the message, the topic, the scriptures that we look at on Sunday morning, and they go on Sunday evening and they just start breaking them down and talking about the Lord and how it affects their life. And it's beautiful fellowship. And he's writing a book. Think about that. I don't know about you, but I want to praise God. I mean, I want to glorify God in my life. I want God to be blessed with me, blessed with my relationships. I want to honor him. And when I remember, there's a book of remembrance being written, it just stirs me up. Not that I go, well, okay, what am I going to say so it can be written? You know, like that really matters, you know? But just what a joy that it reminds me, that's what I ought to be doing. When I get together with you and we sit down and have a cup of coffee or we're here, you know, and that's why we have our barbecues every Sunday. It's to get the people to fellowship. It's not because we really love cooking. Now, we do love eating, but it produces, and a meal produces that. And we see that in the New Testament. But it's to get us together and to stir one another up. As the book of Hebrews says, coming together, not forsaking the assembly, but stirring one another up for love and good works. It's a beautiful thing. Is it in your life? Is it a core part of who you are? You're a Christian and you're in the Word and you look to the Lord and you speak about Him. It's a joy of your speaking about Him to one another. Is it a part of your intimate relationships? You would call that my friends. We talk about Jesus and Him. If it is, it's a healthy thing. If it's not, it's something to really think about. Like, well, then where is, you know, because what? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, and if all we talk about is, you know, our hobbies or sports or whatever it might be, even our kids, well, that's our heart. And the mouth is just declaring the heart. It's a scary thing that my mouth does that, but it does. But God hears. Oh, verse 29, that they had such a heart. So God says, good, okay, that's right, I got it. I mean, that's okay, send them back. Oh, he says. Anytime someone says, oh, it's, oh, listen. It's almost somewhat of an emotional statement. Usually you don't just say, oh. You know, it's, oh. My wife, she's very expressive. Her personality, she's just, you know, out there. I mean, it's just, and, you know, she gets real loud when she gets on the phone. All my kids, you know, would agree with me on this. I'm not making it up. But she gets excited. And, you know, at times, we've been driving down the street and she scared me half to death because she, you know, remembers something or thinks of, and she just blasts it out. I think I just hit a cat or a kid. You know, oh, and, you know, but, and I just see, you know, that, and those of you that know her are laughing because you know, but, you know, just God says, oh, yes, that's good. You know, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. And just on we could go. And you look at when you're reading the word, when that word comes up. It's a word that just says, oh, that would be great, or this is glorious, this is exciting. God says, oh, you know, how exciting that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be, there it is, well with them and with their children forever. God, when he uses that word, oh, he's declaring something glorious. Oh, that they had such a heart in them. And you got saying the same thing right now about us. Oh, that you guys, right now in this Bible study, with these verses laid before your eyes. Oh, if you just got it, boy, it could be so good for you. Well, your life could be so blessed and enriched. And notice the phrases that they had such a heart in them. They would fear me. Notice, always keep all my commandments. It might be well with them. And notice this, for those of you with kids and their children, forever. It is true that if we consistently and faithfully obey the word of the Lord, make it that which is our compass in life, our guide. Not something, well, we look at it when it's convenient, but it really is that binding factor that leads and guides us. If we would, if we really brought it forth and did it consistently, and that's the key word, notice the word forever, there would be blessing that follows. How many times do we obey the Lord when things are going well, and then when we get into a trial, sometimes some great tragedy or something, and things aren't going so well, and we say it doesn't work, and we abandon it? And when we abandon the Lord, which abandoning His word is abandoning the Lord, we are now moving on to a path that has great, great difficulties in front of us. If you think that you're in a difficulty now, but you see, time will tell the truth. It really does. Consistently obeying and following and trusting, you will one day be able to see God's hand in whatever it is you couldn't see before. And I mean, this is the key. Jesus says, those who endure till the end shall be saved. Those are the saved. The ones that keep going. The ones that keep trusting. And they're the blessed ones. And they are. And we are. And church, I would just encourage us tonight. Don't ever, ever lean on your own understanding. Always trust in the Lord. Always acknowledge Him. And do it consistently, and you will find that He will guide you, He will bless you, He will lead you. But you must give it some time. That's not a week, a month, even a year. Trust Him. Because, and this is, history declares this. And biblical history, no question. I mean, we're about to, you know, from Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, boy, it's just like, go read Judges tonight. And it's just so, follow the Lord, blessing. You know, rebel against the Lord, you know, they get taken into captivity, they get, you know, beaten up, they're oppressed, and they repent, and then the Lord blesses. It's just a cycle over and over and over and over. And we go, how do they do that? If you've ever read Judges, you got to sit back and just go, gosh, don't they get it? And then you look at your life, and you go, wait a second. I'm a little hard on these Israelites, and not realizing I do the same thing. And God is faithful. Now, I can always be in the place of being chastened by the Lord, and it's a miserable place. Or I can trust Him and find that fellowship and that blessing. And so, not only to them, but those that would follow, if they continue down this line from generation to generation forever. Verse 30, go and say to them, return to your tent. So God speaks to Moses, go. That's fine. Tell them to go back to their tents. You can stay up here on the mountain. I'll give you the law. But as for you, stand. So now God speaks to Moses. Stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they might observe them in the land in which I am giving them to possess. These are great verses for our contemplation and meditation, personally, and certainly right now, but even more than that, to take this and tomorrow morning make it your devotional passage. Listen to what he's saying here. I'm going to give you these commandments, statutes, and judgments. What for? What's the point of the Bible? Well, what's it for? To look good on the shelf? Maybe a big family Bible there. It makes you look real spiritual, you know, in the house. No, what's it for? He says to teach. What we're doing right now is what it's for. This is good. To teach. Moses, teach the people the word of God. That's what he's saying. I can never get enough teaching. Maybe that just reveals my ignorance. But I'll tell you, you know, I'm so thankful for recordings and for radio and certainly for my little iPod that I can, you know, just fill with tons of sermons. to teach. You know, that's what it's all about. And just getting fed and just growing and just pumping myself with the truth of God's word. It's a beautiful, you know, we pump ourselves with something. You know, pump myself with, you know, the news. It's depressing. You know, or pump yourself with the word of God. Pump yourself with, you know, all these movies and TV programs and all that. And you feel like empty. You ever experienced that? I know you have. I mean, you just feel empty. It's because it's lacking God. It's lacking beauty and truth in Him. I'll tell you what, you're not going to be empty if you, and here's again, consistently pumping yourself with the Word of God. You know what missions is really all about? And you know, we have got a great passion for missions. Why? Because Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and teach them to observe all these things. This is what we're to teach the next generation. We're to teach this generation. We're to teach one another. We're to talk of Him. We're to go. And do you know how many people today don't have this kind of teaching? Not that this is something great, but just this simple teaching. They have nothing. All over the world. So many countries, so many places in the world today that are so hungry for the Word of God. But they have no one to teach them. And you know, that's why God gave it. God communicated His word to us so that we would be taught, we would teach. And so verse 31 here, it's teach them that what? Now, it's not just, hey, you know, I know a lot about the Bible. I've listened to a lot of teachings, read a lot of books, studied what the scholars have said, and, you know, cool. But there's a point, there's a purpose in teaching. And I believe that in live teaching, like we're doing right now, there is something that's very powerful. In fact, Paul tells Titus there in Titus chapter 1, verse 3, that God has manifested His word through preaching. There's something powerful in the public, you know, declaration, proclamation of the truth. Because there's that exhortation saying, hey, what are we going to do? And the Spirit of God is speaking to us as we're here and we've worshiped and our hearts are open and we're now in the Word. There's something special for us, something powerful. That's why we aren't called to be Lone Ranger Christians. You know, I just go over there and read my Bible and, you know, you guys go to church and all, but hey, I'm a Christian. I read my Bible and God loves me and I'm all good. Yeah, but you're missing out if you're really doing that. And there's something wrong there because there's that incur, and even just being, you know, one or, you know, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You know, when we're hearing it, it's amen. It's right. It's true. It's right here. Yeah, that's right. There's a conviction that comes to do what? To observe, to obey. That's what he says there. He says there, teach them that they might observe them in the land, in their lives, where they're going, that they might obey. Verse 32, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Be careful. Therefore, teach them that they might observe where they're going. He says that you shall be careful to do as the Lord. Notice that's what we're to do. Not what we're just to hear, but we're to do. We're to obey. James says it so beautifully. He says, you know, it's not a hearer of the word, but we're called to be doers of the word. In fact, the guy that just hears the word and says, yeah, amen, that's good, and doesn't do the word, is like a man who goes and stands in front of the mirror and sees that his hair is a mess, he's got dirt on his face, and he looks and says, boy, we need to fix this, and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He's called a forgetful hearer. And James, you know, shows us that that's what we're like when we go and hear the word and do what we're doing right now and go, oh, that's cool, amen, great, I agree, and go and do nothing about it. And he says, and that man will be deceived in what he does. But he says, blessed is the man who does the word, for that man will be blessed in what he does. And that's the whole point. Notice here, of the commandment of God, you shall turn, at the end of verse 32, you shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. Boy, that just stands out to me. And if you don't, you'll die. And certainly spiritually. So many people think, if I obey the word and just do what you're saying and just be, you know, this seeker of God and read my Bible and pump myself with the word of God and just, you know, I won't have any fun in life. Oh, the joy, the fun that's here. Life, that's what it gives. He says that it might be well with you and that you might prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Where you're going, and we could all right now in our life apply this. Wherever it is you're going, wherever the Lord has you, where you're going right now, if you would obey the Lord, if you would say, I'm not going to turn 1 degree to the right or 1 degree to the left. Jesus said the road to eternity is narrow and difficult, and it's not broad. If you turn a little to the right or to the left, you quickly fall off the cliff. The road to destruction, he says, is broad. Many go that way. And it's not easy to stay on target. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some focus and diligence and work. And he says, and I love this, and then in verse 33 here, and you shall walk in all. You shall walk. I love that word walk, because you're to not turn to the right. It's a walk. It's this walk of life. And wherever you are going, if you do this, it'll be well with you. It will bless your life. It will bring peace. It will prolong your days. That's what the Lord is saying. This is something that is so basic, isn't it? But we so need to be reminded of it. And when we get into chapter 6, he'll say, hey, once you get into the land and you're going and things are good, don't forget where you came from. So easy. So easy to start. I mean, every Christian starts here. They repent, they get right, they walk with God, they forsake the things of the world. But as time goes on, we just kind of, well, I'm just going to step over here 1 degree to the right. It's no big deal. You know, it's okay. A little compromise here or there. Well, yeah, I'm not going to be as careful to observe the commandments as I once was. You know, I used to abstain from this, but nah, I'm not going to. You know, it's no big deal. I realized I was just some legalist then. And you know, I'll just tell you, I'll just be straight up honest with you. I've watched so many people in my time of being a pastor. I watch so many people just choose one step to the right, one step to the left. And today they're not even in the church. They're gone. Because one step leads to the next. And once you start compromising, it just becomes easier to compromise. And you find yourself in a cloud of confusion. And you don't even know how you got there. And I've had, you know, good friends of mine. In fact, just this last few months, I've met with one of my really good friends that, well, once him and I walked with the Lord and went to the house of God together, and he walked away, and he's a mess, and he just sat there in my office just in tears, and he looked at me like I was someone great because I'm still walking, and it's just like, no, I just kept stepping straight, and I remember when he was going off, and I remember warning him. But now he's like, I don't even know how I got here. And he's all messed up. And even his thinking. And it's like all the stuff he knew before that was so clear and so true about God and his word is just all clouded. He's filled all these questions and doubts and just hardened heart. And it's just a mess. And I just look at him And I just think, you know, obviously just praying for his restoration, and but just think, there I go too. Just one step to the left, one step to the right. That's all it takes. Let me close with Joshua, because God speaks to Joshua. Joshua is the one who takes over for Moses, taking this group that he's taken into the land, the children of Israel, that Moses is speaking to in Deuteronomy. And in verse 6, God says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide the inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7, Joshua 1, "Only be strong and very courageous that you might observe," there it is again, "to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you." Watch this. "Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that is written in it." Wow, that's a mouthful. Don't let it depart, but meditate in it day and night, that you might what? Observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's it. It's that simple. Psalm 1. "That my meditation is in the law of the Lord, and in His law I meditate day and night." That's it. "And I shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in its season, leaves never withering. But the wicked are not so. The wicked will be fade away in the day of judgment. They'll be like chaff in the wind. But the godly, they'll last, they'll endure." Meditating, thinking, contemplating, speaking of Him to one another, being around the Word, being in fellowship, being in this place. That's where we need to be. And I know I preach right now to the choir, because here you are. But let me encourage you to stay in that place. And let us pray for the church to see a revival in the Word of God. And let it be so dear and near to our hearts that we would be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your great grace upon us tonight, that we could gather, Lord, freely without persecution, that we could come into this air-conditioned sanctuary, that we could have music and sound and words on a screen and communion available and Bibles opened. God, we just pray that You would just pour out Your Spirit upon us. For we recognize tonight we need You, Lord. And Lord, we confess, I confess, Lord, it's so easy to become, Lord, just so used to the Word that we forget why we're here. God, I pray that it would be life to our souls, strength to our flesh, that we'd bind it around our neck, Lord, as Proverbs 3 says. Write it on the tablets of our hearts. Father, we pray that You would help us to do that. We know we can't, and we want to, and that we would be diligent to observe and follow and obey and trust You. We bless You, Lord. We praise You, God. We ask that You would now, as those of us that can stay, just bless our time of fellowship and time, Lord, of being here in Your Word and seeking Your face. We worship You now, Father, and we praise You. And we thank You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Tonight, again, we're going to have a time of worship for those of you that want to stay around. And if you have to go, the Lord be with you. And let's just worship the Lord.